What's up, everybody, and welcome back to the Gift of Gaming podcast. And don't worry, we're about to finish the Super Smash Brothers series with our final episode today. Oh. All right, what's up? It's me, it's your host, Darren Wade, and I'm joined by the sad Craig the Critical Nolan. Craig, how are you?
Not very sad at all, Darren. I'm pretty happy.
You're okay to be finishing off our Super Smash Bros. Series?
I guess so, you know. I mean, every good thing comes to an end. We're just still going to continue talking about it off-air, so it doesn't really change anything.
It's just for the podcast.
The listeners to know, like, how crazy we are, like, about certain topics.
Absolutely. Before we get into that, though, I hear and see that you are getting into quite a lot of metaphor fantasia.
Yeah.
Is it fantasia or fantasio?
A metaphor fantasia. I just keep calling it metaphor because metaphor fantasia or something like that. Terrible name, but metaphor by itself would be a good name.
Right, yeah.
So I'm just gonna call it metaphor. Like, it's the first game, so it shouldn't have extra shit to it.
Yeah, just call it. Here's metaphor, and the second one can be called whatever the fuck.
But as you know, Darren, I'm a massive Persona 5 fan.
Yeah.
So like, playing it early on, I was just like, oh, it's like Persona 5, but not as good. And like, it was annoying me a lot. And I saw the reviews were really, really good. You know how I am? I'm like, oh, well, I'll show you. You know, like, I immediately was thinking like, well, this has to hold up to Persona.
Yeah.
And it kept letting me down at the start. But then the more I got into it, the more I'm like, okay, it's doing things a little differently and doing it in the fantasy setting. And, you know, it has enough new mechanics added to what was there before. But a lot of the time I'm like, oh man, I'd love to play Persona 5 with this new mechanic in it.
Persona
5 is still very much the better game, better story.
Because that was the part I was curious about. Do you still get a, what's the phrase I'm looking for? A relationships kind of the side of things that you got in Persona 5.
Yeah, that is mass. Like the exact same way. You have a list of confidants and you have to raise their stats. Amazing. By hanging out with them. The only negative, well, not only negative, but you know, but in Persona 5, like, if you were hanging out with Shojiro, he would show you how to make curry. He'd physically show you how to do that, and then you'd have the ability to make curry. Whereas in this game, I'll hang out with a girl, we'll do something completely tedious like walk around, and then it'll just say my cooking ability has improved, but we didn't cook, you know.
So it's kind of lazy.
The writing is far lazier than in Persona, because in Persona, it always meant something. What you were doing meant something in the game. Whereas this, they're just like, okay, we want you to have this, this, and this. Now just do whatever, and you're going to get that regardless.
Yeah,
you know?
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Whereas now, Persona didn't have that every time, but
it was themed a lot.
You can tell a lot less effort went into this game than Persona, like, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a pity.
Well, not necessarily a bad thing, because people still love it, but they probably haven't played Persona 5.
You know? Yeah, yeah. And do you think this bodes well for Persona 6? Do you think they're kind of...
Yeah, I'd hope so, like, because... I don't know, like, whenever I'm playing Persona, I have to like have like 10 different websites open looking at all the different guides on how to raise my stats and things like that. Because I would go nuts if I gave the wrong answer and got no points.
Oh yeah.
You know, like if someone's like, oh hey, do you like ice cream? I'm like, oh, is that lemon or chocolate? Oh, I don't know.
You and me play games very differently.
But like, if I didn't get those points, I would like pull my hair out type of thing, know, because then like, you can never get that stuff back, you know.
Yeah.
Whereas in Metaphor, you know, you'll always get the points. You just might get one extra point for the correct thing.
Right,
so
okay.
I don't have any guides. I don't have any pages
open.
The
stress is less
and
for
the stress is far less. And I'm just like, man, this is how games are supposed to be played. I had no idea how insane I'd become, like, you know. Because we're playing Persona 5 now. If I was to just turn on a new file and play, I would have like 30 pages of like how to raise this, how to raise that, and like best gifts and things like that.
Nice,
and
yeah, yeah.
I'm stopping playing constantly just to look at things, and it really weighs you down over time. Like.
Would you recommend it?
Yes, I'd recommend Metaphor, but I prefer people to play Persona 5. If you're going to play one Atlas game, it's Persona 5,
Persona
not
5.
Metaphor.
Yeah, yeah, true, true. What do you think of our, because you know, this is a Smash episode, and I'm looking for some kind of segue, but Joker as a character in Persona 5 is quite a popular character. What do you make of our lead protagonist in Metaphor?
I don't like him because he looks just like Mart.
Yeah.
He has Mart's hair.
The cutscenes, I was like, oh yeah, there's a generic...
And he's much nicer than Joker. Like, Joker doesn't say an awful lot, and when he does, he kind of laughs along as though he could be a dickhead and you don't really know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But, and he was so suave and so cool. Joker with his glasses, the way he touched them and stuff like that. Like, he didn't have to say a lot.
And he was his uniform was all so stylish. His his Joker outfit was so stylish.
Whereas this guy is really like, let's help each other. And you know, he's just too goody.
Oh, he's my kind of character. He's a bit of a Sora.
He's very much a Sora. Yeah.
I'll take that.
But because he's doing all the stuff Joker does, it's making Joker a little less special. So I'm kind of hating on him even more because of that. I'm like, you're doing the same thing, but just Joker is way better at it than you were.
Yeah, okay. You know? That's a bit disappointing.
He's just not suave. Yeah. Joker's very suave.
And I suppose you got a fantasy setting. So there's, I suppose in the fantasy world, you've got still an opportunity to be suave. But in modern day settings, it's easier to be suave, I think, than in the kind
I'd be worried, though, if the next Smash Brothers game came out and the Atlas character was
the metaphor
character and not the personified. I'd lose my shit. Like,
but I think based on, I think we're like, I mean, I'm going to be biased here because I've only played Persona 5. I haven't played Metaphor, but I think Joker's range and his movement and the weapons that he has in Smash Brothers, it seems like there's a lot more to what I saw in the trailers than the Metaphor character, because he just seems to be like, again, your classic fantasy. He's just got a sword, right?
He's like the healer of the group.
Oh,
the main character is the healer.
Yeah.
Like, you get a knight and a warrior, and the main character is the healer. I'm like, I don't want to use black and white magic as my main character. Yeah, that's outrageous, but you have to. You don't get another healer for ages, like 30 hours into the game. So by then, I've already dumped all my stats into magic, and I'm like, I didn't want magic. I gave it at the start when I picked my character. I gave physical strength.
Are your other characters outside of your main character cool? Like, in terms of like the other thing, you know?
They're
like,
okay, but the cast isn't as good as the Persona 5 cast. But so obviously,
what you're essentially saying is this is just a lesser Persona 5. What may be,
but in a
mechanics.
Fantasy setting, because everything you did in the real world in Persona 5 had an impact in Mementos, because it was like this dream world. Mm-hmm. Whereas in this, you just read a book and then you're way smarter in the real world, which wouldn't be the case. But that made sense in Persona, because you're taking slight improvements, and when you put them into a fantasy world, it amplifies it, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you can bring a toy gun into Mementos and it's a real gun all of a sudden.
Yeah,
you know, like, I like that, the way you do something small but it has a big impact in the fantasy world. Whereas in this, you're always in the fantasy world, so reading a book shouldn't do shit. I just take it quite like,
no,
literally.
I think you're right, though, because I think that was what I loved about Persona 5 was that storyline, and the fact that you'd come back to the real world and your actions within the fantasy world or Mementos had an impact on what was going on in the real world thereafter.
Exactly. Like, so they were two kind of parallel dimensions, and I love that aspect of it, whereas this game is all in the one. It's just the one fantasy world. I'm like, but
I can take
it just means there's a lot more dungeons and things you can do, because you're not just going to the one place all the time.
Yeah,
coming back.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm talking way too much about.
I'm happy to do it. Exciting news on my part, Craig, is I got the email today from Smiths to say that my PlayStation 5 Pro has been dispatched.
Dispatched? What does that mean?
It means I get it tomorrow.
Okay.
Well, I'm saying this, getting it tomorrow. So this episode is being recorded early. I'm getting it on release day. So when people listen to this in a couple of days' time, I'll have been playing the PlayStation 5 Pro for quite some
time. What's it like, Darren? Is it good?
It's very good, Craig. I can't recommend it enough to our current listeners. It's me from the past. But very excited to play it. I was looking up the list of games that have been confirmed as like PS5 Pro enhanced, so that they've been built for it. I'll read you out a couple just for my own personal...
Just give some ones that like we have or we've played.
Okay, so I can confirm
Horizon,
that...
is that on there?
The Horizon Zero Dawn Remastered and Forbidden West are both on there.
Nice.
The only problem with that is I've platinumed both of those, so I don't really have anything to go back for with them. But what I am...
That's what you get for platinuming the game. I know, I told you it's not worth it. I told you not to do it.
I didn't know we were getting a pro. But what I haven't platinumed, and what I'm very much looking forward to revisiting, is The Last of Us Part 1 and The Last of Us Part 2 Remastered are both PS5 Pro enhanced. So I'll be looking forward to getting back to them.
One's a PS3 game and one's a PS4.
Yeah, but it's the remake of The Last of Us Part 1, the way they remade it. But I'm sure it's probably
as janky. They didn't do that for the PS5, for The Last of Us Part 2.
No, but it's...
I don't think so, right? Because I only replayed it about 6 months ago.
It's called The Last of Us Part 2 Remastered.
Is it?
Yeah, I don't know if it's a PS5 version, but I'll find out anyway soon enough.
Maybe they released it a few months ago.
We've got Monster Hunter Wilds. From when that comes out, so I'm excited about that. And one game that I haven't played that I would look forward to going to would be the Spider-Man series. I haven't played any of those games.
Ugh, they're shite.
Oh, okay, that's a pity.
No, they're fine. They're like the Batman games, but worse in every way.
Oh, yeah, if you're a Batman fan. I tried playing them before and I thought they were a bit, I thought it was a bit samey, but maybe I'll...
The characters are just really modernly lame, you know? No humor whatsoever. The Peter Parker is a real, like, goody-goody. I'm just like, ugh.
Where's the edge? You know?
He's got nothing.
God of War Ragnarok, which I'd like to revisit. Hogwarts Legacy, which I don't know if I'll revisit or not, but
nobody should ever revisit Hogwarts Legacy.
They've confirmed they're making a Hogwarts Legacy 2, and they're
I'm sure it was a massive success.
For me, Dynasty Warriors Origins is enhanced for PS5 Pro. Looking forward to that. And then of course, Craig, the creme de la creme. And I saw the update appear on my PlayStation 5 yesterday. The patch for Final Fantasy VII Rebirth.
Yeah, I got that.
Yeah, that's the patch for the Pro Enhanced version.
I saw it had updated. I went, oh, it's just a new download in the game. I almost wanted to play just to see what was there.
No, but just to make it better for PS5 Pro. So that'll be my first game. I have a day off work, and I'm going to settle down to some Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, start a brand new game.
Is tomorrow or Friday?
It's Friday that I have.
Okay, that was smart.
Yeah.
Just in case it doesn't actually come.
No, or if it came later on in the day, and like, you know, I'm visiting family and stuff tomorrow, so I was like, no, I want an uninterrupted. So I'll play the PS5 Pro all day, and then we'll go see Ireland versus New Zealand, you know. Nice. And it'll be okay. a great day. So that's mine. It's very excited, Craig. I'll send you some pictures when it arrives.
Sounds great.
But we have Smash Brothers to talk about 10 minutes later.
Is it, in case we do the timestamp, what exact moment can you go to? Although if they've listened already, they can't do the whole time.
No, I might leave a comment.
Forget
for them.
It's irrelevant.
you're in it for the whole ride, my friends. We're now talking about Smash Bros. And for a final episode, Craig, I thought it would be, or for a final part of this series, I thought it'd be good to talk about kind of the more, I suppose, outside parts of the game that we haven't discussed, kind of like in terms of the maps that we got in Smash Brothers, the music that we got in Smash Brothers, and the kind of bonus bits and pieces that you get in terms of assist trophies and things like that, that all contribute to what I would consider the ultimate celebration of video games. And then I think to finish out the episode, I think it'll be worth us talking about what we expect the future of Smash Brothers to be, and then what we want the future of Smash Brothers to be.
Because those are two very different things.
They are very different things, yeah. So to kick it off, I thought I'd kind of jump into... you know, and for those who haven't played Smash Brothers, and if you're on, you know, episode 4, I highly recommend it. There's just a plethora of stuff to get into there. But we're looking at a kind of maps and the music that goes with these maps and how fun it is. Can I just ask you, off the top of your head, Craig, your favorite map in Smash Brothers?
Give it the Colosseum, just...
Because of the matches, the fights
just
that we have?
If, like, I could tally up how many times I played on each level, Colosseum would be ahead... would be twice ahead of any other level.
Yeah,
that's
true. Yeah. For those who don't know, the Colosseum is a Fire Emblem level,
it's
isn't it?
Loosely based on Fire Emblem. Like, it has the Fire Emblem music and stuff, but it's not specific to any Fire Emblem game.
It's just the map they put in.
A common thing in a Fire Emblem game is to fight in the Colosseum to win money.
Yeah.
But I mean, there's a Colosseum in almost any action video
game.
Yeah.
It's a very generic
Colosseum.
You can
kind of take it just like the boxing ring.
It's very cool, the moving platforms and stuff like that. And then, has a great list of Fire Emblem themes throughout.
The only annoying thing about the Colosseum is that you can't fall off, you walk off. So certain people that we play with will hang out just at the very side of the level, and they won't even fight. They'll just try and grab and then toss someone to the side.
Especially
when they're losing.
I have seen so much red mist with Colm when he plays as someone just controls me. Because there's nothing more insulting than getting like grabbed and kicked off the map. Do you know what I mean? And then Niall's a divil he'll always play as Byleth, and the bow and arrow when it's fully charged is almost like a crit when it hits you. Mm-hmm. He'll stay just kind of almost out of view. So in that little betwixt moment.
He can hide off screens.
And just charge. It's the most frustrating thing ever. And then if you're not skillful enough when you go into attack, and when you run up to him, he'll just grab you and throw you out. And there's nothing more infuriating. But we have great... So our rule for the Colosseum is that you can only pick swordsmen. We all have our classic characters. I play as Roy from Fire Emblem, and it's a real quick match. Like, it's three stocks, but
usually die around 30-50% because someone just tossed you to the side and you die. Like, it's always very, very quick, and it's just everyone really goes guns blazing immediately.
Yeah. And seeing as we're on a Fire Emblem level, it's good to chat. What do you, as a Fire Emblem fan who's played quite a slew of the library of Fire Emblem games? What do you think of the library of music that they've provided into Smash Brothers? You satisfied? Or you think there's anything that's missing?
The Fire Emblem music is fine. The best one in terms of music, I thought, was the Three Houses, the one that came out on the Switch. So anytime I'd pick the level, I will always pick one of those songs, you know?
Yes.
Other than the Dark Knight theme from, like... Radiant Dawn, because that's like Ike's nemesis, and I like the whole, like, it feels like there's a bad guy on screen.
And the music for Fire Emblem, it would be quite different to the games in that the Fire Emblem fights in the main game could go on for quite some time, so the themes were never they never crescendoed or dipped too much. It
they
was
have to just
level.
Be a good melody for the background
for listening to for an hour in case your fight goes on for that long type thing. Yeah. So and in terms of map wise, I know that we've got like the Colosseum level. There's two other Fire Emblem levels, right? There's the Grand.
There's the Arena Ferox, which is another arena, and then there is the Castle Siege, which is far more the traditional Fire Emblem level because that you're on a castle, which is like. A big part of the Fire Emblem is like, you know, attacking the different like fortresses or whatever. And then it goes down into the actual kind of dungeon part, which is in the castle itself.
Yeah.
And then for some reason you end up in hell then afterwards. At the end of Fire Emblem games, you often end up fighting some evil demon in hell or something like that. You know?
And then we've also got the Three Houses level, Garrick Moch.
And Garrick Moch, yeah. As we call four. It, yeah.
That's quite a good representation, actually.
The Garrick Moch is a very good level because it shows the whole lot of the kind of church, the sanctuary.
And it came in a time where as much as I was very, I think, you know, if we were talking about character announcements, Byleth, and I know Niall plays as Byleth quite a lot.
Byleth is a great character.
Byleth is a great character, but it was the most disappointed I had been when they were announced. And
it's because 1 to 4 were amazing. We got Joker, we got Banjo, we got Hero, we got Terry, and then like that was 4 third party characters
amazing
in a row,
characters.
And then we just got a shitty
another Fire Emblem character as if we needed another.
But
like,
at the same time, when they announced Byleth, they also said right there and then, we're going to give you 6 more.
Yes.
So that really cushioned the blow.
Because for a lot of people, and me especially, I was watching this being like, you know, as a classic me thing, I was like, this is the last chance for Sora potentially, blah, blah, blah. So when I saw it was Byleth, I was like, oh, and it was cool because it was almost like the bait and switch that they did in so many other characters, because in that Byleth thing they had Byleth announced and then Byleth gets their ass kicked, and I thought, oh, maybe it's not Byleth, it's somebody else, but then just the female Byleth came out then and whooped ass, and I was like, oh, okay,
they didn't put much money into that thing at all. Pretty much all of that trailer was all from the actual Three Houses game, like they used the cutscenes from that game,
just
nothing new for Smash other
voice
than that
acting.
JPEG at
but yeah, so quite a large representation in Smash Brothers. Probably
some
one,
would say too many,
too much,
but that's only because
across
every new Fire
characters.
Emblem game has a new protagonist, you know.
Yeah, and they just
so
feel the need to put them all in.
Rack up, like you know.
I'm gonna go to, I suppose, my favorite map in the game, and I think I'd have to put it down to, in terms of the effort that's put into it and the background that's going on, the Northern Crater, so Final Fantasy VII.
Nice.
Because with that, we got an extra batch
of... Well, I love that gets all the music,
It got a whole extra batch of theme tunes. We got like a Cosmo Canyon remix, Aerith's theme, some more Sephiroth's theme. Yeah, so good. And then the background of that map is essentially the whole ending cutscene for Final Fantasy VII, the OG one.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember when that was announced with Sephiroth's character and they were showing the level, I was like, this is outrageous. And there's been times where when we've been playing that map and I've been, let's say I died early, you know, unfortunately, it's really nice to sit back and, you know, I'd be watching, let's say,
watch,
you know,
the ending of Final Fantasy VII.
Yeah, you're playing as Wolf, you know, Column's there as Cloud and Niall's there as Byleth or whoever else, and it's a really intense fight and it's like and I just see the entire ending for Final Fantasy VII OG in the background. I'm like, God, the effort put into this map was great. And I suppose on that, talking about the Final Fantasy VII representation in the game, I think probably has brought into the game some of the best score as well. Look, we love Final Fantasy VII music and everything like that, but the collection of tracks that we got into that game was probably more than we deserved, considering there's only
way too much.
You got everything. You got everything that you could have wanted.
He almost
in terms
just takes every good track from whatever game that is and puts it in Smash. Like not everything, but a lot of it. You know.
Yeah. And I think
back in the very first Smash Brothers, each stage had one song.
Yeah.
Now some tracks have 35 songs. Like the Terry stage has 35 tracks to it. Like
mental. Like you know. Crazy. And I think with Seven, it was a kind of thing when they announced Sephiroth, I was like, there's nothing more that they could give us in that regard. Like Seven, not only did we get this cool map, not only did we get every song you would have wanted, One Winged Angel, the battle theme, the boss theme, the bombing mission theme, the Genova theme,
we really
my favorite,
got everything.
Everything. And a couple of bonus ones, like the Aerith theme and the Cosmo Canyon theme aren't great fighting themes, but they're cool just to have in the game to listen to or whatever. Yeah. I just couldn't believe. And then the Advent Children side of things, whereby when they introduce Sephiroth, Cloud has a new limit break when he attacks Sephiroth, and it's all in the...
They even had the Advent Children music as well.
Yeah,
like
which is crazy. You know, crazy the Advent Children has such a big part to play. But I think when Sephiroth was announced, I was like, wow, this game is, you know, in terms of what Sakurai is able to get from these third parties is outrageous. What they're willing to give for this game is outrageous. So I think that was probably the one of the outstanding kind of releases for me.
Because I like the Colosseum for the fact that it's a great level.
Yeah.
But if it's just because of the music we got with the stage.
Oh, no, no, no. I mean, like, I think the music that we get with Northern Credit was a massive bonus, but I love that stage for what's happening on it.
Okay.
And it's a standard stage. Generally,
like, the movable stages I find kind of distracting because
there's so much
like,
going
while
on.
I'm playing, there's a big massive explosion going on.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
I'm like,
yeah, yeah.
That's
yeah.
a little too bright. So I like the Colosseum because it's just playing and nothing's happening. But if it was a case of, like, what track I appreciate the most because it came with all the songs, it would be, and we were just talking about it,
here's
the Persona
segue.
5
there
track.
It is.
Because not only do you get Persona 5 music, Persona 4 music, and Persona 3 music, which are very, very good, but this the track change, or the whole level changes color to match
the game track that you've chosen, if it's 3, 4, or 5.
So
yeah.
It's yellow if it's 3, it's blue if it's 4, and it's red if it's 5. And unfortunately for me, I only know Persona 5, and the tracks to Persona 5 are so damn good
yeah.
that I rarely ever get to see Persona 3
levels,
or 4
yeah.
because...
Rivers in the Desert.
Rivers in the Desert is just one of the greatest boss tunes ever, like,
yeah.
you know, and it's... You guys love to pick it up, pick that one by default. I like to go to some of the other ones from time to time because Wake Up, Get Up, Get Out
yeah,
there.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
the
yeah.
intro to Persona 5, that is just so memorable.
It's and it's such a good... Like, he's a great character addition to Smash Brothers anyway because of... Like, he's quite unusual, quite different from the other Smash characters. I'd say Joker's pretty unique. But in terms of the music, it's so... Like, that jazzy,
yeah.
lounge, upbeat, active kind of music is so different to anything that you had before in Smash Brothers or any other games. Like, it's got... Like, Persona 5 has a really unique soundtrack.
Its identity is in that soundtrack, though. Like, it's like the game, they made the music and then they built the game around the music. You know, it felt like that came first.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because it just suits it so
Someone
well.
Wrote a song being like, hey, what kind of video game would you make to this? Like,
yeah, like
you know?
Even the silhouettes of while you're walking around. Do you know the ding, ding, ding,
yeah.
ding? I can't even name the name of that song. Beneath the Mask, I think it's called. Mm. You know, just the general kind
yeah.
of when you're walking around and it's raining. I'm like, oh, gorgeous. And Smash has its own version of that, which is faster because it's supposed to be in Smash Brothers all the music is like battle themed, so even if you have
yeah.
like a casual menu theme, Sakurai will play it faster so it kind of suits the battle, you know.
And like hats off to the Smash Brothers kind of, you know, like the music team that actually, because there's a couple of songs that were remixed for Smash Brothers. We know the air theme was remixed for Smash Brothers. I know that there was a I think Kingdom Hearts tune from if you had Chain of Memories, a save data for Chain of Memories, you unlock this track.
Thank you for giving me that, by the way.
No, I have to complete your collection, Craig, yeah. you know. But that kind of had like a bit of a lounge, and he made it quicker and more upbeat to be in Smash Brothers. And then, yeah, it's just amazing that they actually have all these remixes in it as well. I think looking at a piece that I probably would have been disappointed by in terms of music, not overly disappointed by it. There's some good tracks, but I think it's definitely missing kind of what I thought would have been the heart of the game. The Kingdom Hearts level is unbelievable. I love the map. I love I think how it changes and everything like that is great. And I love how it's different with just the single platform in the middle, the other way, because mm-hmm. so, some maps have the triple platforms or the two platforms at the side.
The kind of battlefield.
Yeah, yeah, this one just has one in the middle. It's quite unique in that way. But the themes that they've got some of the classic Kingdom Hearts themes, the normal battle theme, the giant heartless cutscene theme, that comes in, I forget his name, but there's some of the battle or you know boss musics from Kingdom Hearts 2 and even Kingdom Hearts 3 that were so good that weren't in this because I think Sakurai was just focusing on Kingdom Hearts 1 as a collection mm-hmm. to put in this game. He wasn't
but
really...
But like, he always presents a list... to the like because he said that for every game and every music he's done, he always made the suggestions for what songs he'd like and they would
approve
send him
or
a,
disapprove.
They would approve or disapprove his requests and he wouldn't say any more than that. Like so with Terry, they just said okay
to
and
everything.
He went, wait a minute, they're all okay. So he submitted 35
yeah,
for
yeah,
a request.
Yeah.
That means I bet he did that with every single game. He sent probably 20 to 30. And then they said no to probably half.
Yeah.
And so he took what he could get. But I'm sure Sakurai requested all of them. You know?
Yeah, all of
every
the
single
great...
good song in the game.
Yeah.
Like, you know?
Because there's you know, a fantastic Kingdom Hearts 2. There's a fantastic battle theme for when the Countless Heartless are attacking Hollow Bastion.
Yeah.
Great theme, really exciting. This is where the Final Fantasy characters team up, do you know what I mean, to fight them off. It's a really great scene. Goofy dies, so you think that whole bit. The game, amazing
yeah,
music
right.
in that. Yeah, right. They'll pay for this.
Joe and Goofy are completely immortal.
Yeah, they
are. Disney.
Always will be. But in that regards, I think there was just something, and I guess this was Disney or Square Enix. I'm assuming Disney, I think they own all of that kind of stuff. I don't know the licensing there, but such a pity that there's some that was left out there. You know, that was the only thing that was missing from the Kingdom Hearts announcement. That everything
Persona
was perfect.
5, it was the Life Will Change song. It's my favorite track in all of Persona, and it's the song they used when they announced Joker. So he obviously requested it afterwards, yes. And they said no.
No, having the game, such a disappointment. I think moving away from kind of, I suppose, these new characters and new maps. There's kind of stuff that I have such nostalgia for from playing Smash Bros. Since I was, whatever, 9, 10, however old I was. One of my favorite stages and themes is the Pokemon Stadium with the ba-ba-bam, ba-ba-bam, ba-ba, like the classic one, and the Pokemon Stadium that changes to the Elemental Arena. So it's a standard Pokemon Stadium arena, like, you know, Ash would have had in his big kind of the end game fights in the TV show or whatever. Yeah. But the environment changes. So you have like the air environment, all these windmills come up and you're bouncy, or when you jump, you float higher.
Kind of floaty. I don't like that because I think one of them is a burning building and you always get stuck in this kind of little area under a house or something. And I'm like, I can't fight
It's challenging.
Someone will always pick Ganondorf and I'll get wrecked.
Yeah, in such a small space. But I love how it kind of is in like levels like that. And we talked about Arena Ferox as well, because that has kind of like, when it changes, you can get caught in the middle section when it changes how it looks and stuff when it transitions. But I like being forced into those situations when a level transitions and all of a sudden you find yourself in.
Do you know in the Colosseum where like you're running towards an enemy and then all of a sudden the platform
while you're
rises
on it,
and all, it just separates the two of you. Like, that is just so cool. Like, when you're in the middle of a fight and then the level just maneuvers the two of you and splits you apart.
And it forces you kind of, maybe there, someone else is on another platform. I was fighting you on the ground and all of a sudden now I'm faced with Colm on a platform. I love that.
Or someone's charging a smash attack and then the thing rises saves your life. You're like, oh,
so good.
Brilliant.
Yeah. So the transition levels are so good, but Pokemon Stadium with the kind of classic Pokemon music is great. I don't necessarily think the Donkey Kong maps are good, but the Donkey Kong music is, I mean, from Donkey Kong Country, the music was great. The DK rap, unbelievable. It's a pity about the levels, because I don't think the levels are overly great. We've got like, I can't remember what they're called, actually. There's the one where it's your DK's
Jungle
house.
Japes, I think one of them is.
Jungle Japes.
Jungle Falls, I think the other one is.
The other one. Jungle Falls is the really tough one where you're at the waterfall, I think, isn't it? And it's
And then the
quite
other,
a tight level.
The other one is just beside there. Boats are heavy to do with the water for some reason, you know? Who would have thought monkeys would have two water levels?
Really dangerous levels. But I mean, great representation. Donkey Kong has like got so much good music in there. Like so much of the atmospheric music from Donkey Kong Country 2. And I think when we did episodes talking about some of our favorite games in the Super Nintendo, one of the things we were all quite blown away by was, well, the atmosphere created by the soundtrack in Donkey Kong is so good and all that. I can't think of a track that isn't in Smash Brothers.
It's true, the best, it's a shame they only have those two they might have a third Donkey Kong level, but the best Donkey Kong level from the Wii U game was the one where you could transition to the foreground and background. Do you remember the level would collapse and you had to jump into the barrels, which would send you to the back and you have to fight over there. It's a shame that was like the one and only level that they didn't bring over to the Smash Bros. Switch.
And it's weird because, like, you know, so many of the Mario games and stuff do that nowadays as part of the thing where you go down a pipe and you transition to the back. That
it's become a staple on those side-scrolling games just to have another area, you know?
I wonder what it have been. Oh, no, I mean, think of what everything else that's in
Smash
Bros.
Is it to do with Ice Climbers? We couldn't have 16 characters in the background.
That you can barely see, maybe. That was a class level, actually, as well. Are there any more, out of interest, are there any more levels that we've lost?
We also lost that Metroid Ridley level that we used to play on the Wii U. Do you remember the one where Ridley would attack?
Oh, yes. Yeah,
that level's
yeah.
also gone.
Because Ridley's in the game now, I guess.
They can't have a Ridley show up.
Oh, I can't believe we lost that level to get the Ridley character. What a terrible trade-off.
I'd prefer to have that level.
Yeah,
than
me
Ridley.
Too. Yeah, absolutely. Terrible, terrible choice. Speaking of which, Samus and why can't I think Metroid, Jesus, the game. What do you think of Metroid's representation in terms of what, there's two Metroid levels in it?
It's probably a lot more. I never picked them though. There's the kind of wacky one where there's a monster that keeps rotating the level.
Yes.
Like, completely. Like that's a fun one that I don't think we've ever once played, but I've played it a bunch of times like from years ago, but it's always a case of someone just gets trapped underneath and can't get back. Like, imagine playing Little Mac on that level.
You'd be doomed.
You'd lose your mind.
No recovery. You know? Yeah, absolutely. It'd be terrible. I think that's a thing that's a pity for me. I never played the Metroid games, but I like the idea of Metroid games, but I find the music, again, don't get me wrong, there's nothing, I couldn't say, well, there's probably some dodgy songs in there, like some of the weird older Nintendo ones that are just kind of like just bad songs.
Sure.
But I think for the most part as well, the Metroid songs I kind of thought were okay. Do you know what I mean?
Well, they're they're atmospheric, yes, and like you feel kind of like claustrophobic, like
very spacey.
Yeah, they are very spacey. I think they suit. But when you have like Mario fighting Link, it doesn't really make sense.
Yeah, true.
It suits the whole space battle or something, but like
One of the I think fondest memories I have in terms of playing a we don't do it much anymore, and it's funny because it's the wacky levels we don't play anymore because I think we don't take ourselves as seriously as pros, but we take ourselves a bit more seriously because that we don't do the wacky levels because we're not overly keen on just getting killed for some random bullshit reason because
I don't
so
mind
into
that
it
at all. Like I would play with level like weapons and stuff far more often, but I can tell like you guys feel far more competitive than I do, and I don't know if it's that because I was used to winning or something like that, whereas now you guys have really closed that gap and you're really pushing me. Like,
well, what I really enjoyed is, as just a note, when we were playing the other day, it was yourself, myself, Niall, and Colm, and I remember that all of us had a win or two in there, and I was like, oh yeah, like this is different from the Wii U days in your old house back in Glasnevin, where it was just we go and we're fighting for second essentially pretty much the whole time.
We've all played so much now that who can win is like
it can be anybody,
could be anyone. Like,
but back to the wacky level, Big Blue with the Big Blue theme is I think that one starts off with a bam bam bam, like the real kind of,
well,
wacky,
if you pick that level or if you pick that music track, if there's 20 you could choose.
You do, but that I remember playing that music track always on the Big Blue, and Big Blue is it's an F-Zero track. Mm-hmm. So all the cars are racing, and then there's the reporter ship that's recording, or there's
that's
a
the Blue Falcon, that's Captain Falcon's ship.
The big one that
so in the lore he's a bounty hunter and that's his actual spaceship and he races in the Blue Falcon, but like the ship you see at the start is his spaceship that he uses to traverse the galaxy.
I always assumed it was like some sort of, because this was a race, it was like the where the camera crew and media were to
that would make
the race,
sense,
you know.
But
It's his ship. No, I don't mind how it works, but I love how the level is in that you are on that fighting, but the whole level's moving the whole time, and the cars are doing the jumps over the sea, and you have to like hope that when you're getting knocked by someone that you land on a car, otherwise you're off the level, because the level's moving so quickly that if you fall off the level or fall off a car, you're gone. It's a game over.
Death.
And I like that. I always enjoy that kind of the wackiness to those levels.
Were you a big fan of Poke Floats from Melee? The one where all the Pokemon would just kind of pop up and then
randomly
fall.
I enjoyed that one.
I loved that level
to a degree, in that it was one of those things that frustrated me when it's kind of like the Nintendogs one that has the random stuff dropping from the sky sometimes that can knock you out the level,
but everywhere you stand changes every few seconds, like, you know.
true. I guess, like, again, I think any level that would have had some of the classic themes, like there's so much good Pokemon music, I think if as long as there's good music playing, I'm happy to play. And it's one of the things I'm glad we in the past couple of years have changed about how we play Smash Brothers. We used to just pick a level and fight and that was it. But now we're kind of curating our fights that will go on and we'll, I'm going to have a look through what songs there are for this map or this map to make it even more exciting.
And we come across songs we've never heard before all the time. There's probably half the tracks we have never listened to.
Yeah, and I think one of the real gems that we've discovered from that, and I've listened to
Glory of Heracles.
No, I mean, that was an old one. Glory of Heracles is a great one, but I don't even know what game that was from. Because for ages it was on the list of kind of the, what would you call it, the miscellaneous list of Smash songs. So I don't know what game it came from.
Glory of Heracles the name of a game? No.
I'll see if I can find out here while we're chatting.
But yeah, we randomly found that one time and then we've just been playing it ever since.
And the new one,
the one from Xenoblade?
Crossing Swords from the Xenoblade Chronicles is an unbelievable theme. And it's made me sit in and actually put on like YouTube playlist of just the Xenoblade Chronicles music and be like, wow, this game has some serious
themes. That game does
themes.
Have some. It might not be for everyone, but like in terms of music, it has some bangers.
I'm trying to see if there's a, if it'll tell me what
Glory of Heracles is. Where is it coming from?
Yeah, it's not. None of this is telling me straight off the bat.
It might be. No, it wouldn't be from Pits because they have.
Because they have levels, so it should be in the Pit levels. But it's ended up in the miscellaneous. I'll see if I can find it out. Maybe while we're
one of our listeners will tell us.
Yeah. Let us know at thegiftedgamingpodcast@gmail.com. But yeah, that's another great thing about playing Smash Brothers for the sake of playing Smash Brothers has opened my eyes to other games, not just in terms of wanting to play other games. Like I am keen to maybe give the Ice Climbers game a go, just to be like, I love them so much in this game, I should really give their game some love. But also in that, like that sitting down and listening to music from other video games, like some of the Mega Man Wait, what's the Mega Man level called in this? I don't think I'm a big fan of it.
I don't know the name of it. But because it has a hazard on it, we never play it. I mean, you can turn the hazards off, but that, you'd have to go all the way back to that menu just to change it. Yeah. All the way back. So we never bother.
We never do it. But I think the Mega Man music, when we, you know, I've come across some of it, when you can pick a standard Battlefield level, you get the choice of the entire library of Smash Brothers. And going into some of the Mega Man remixes, I'm like, oh, some of these are actually pretty cool. Mm. I always think I should give Mega Man a shot based off the music, but I'm like, I don't know if it's probably just
I don't like Mega Man. No. His jab is too shit. Like, yeah, you know? Yeah. He doesn't have a tilt attack. If you don't have a tilt attack, you're useless.
Yeah, yeah. I suppose before we go into leaving the kind of the maps, is there any other map you'd like to mention? Any other soundtrack you'd like to mention before we kind of move on?
Well, there's loads of really good. The Xenoblade one, just because it has some absolute bangers, like you said. Some of the Mario levels, just because then you get like 100 songs from every Mario game ever.
And they have loads of medleys as well, which is great. Like, they play through the entire, you know, the classic songs all in one medley, which is amazing. One that has disappointed me, it's one of our favorite maps, which is the boxing ring, but the Little Mac music is quite poor based on...
I like the main theme of a punch, but I've never played the Punch Out game, so I've no idea really. They've no nostalgia factor for me, you know?
Yeah, which is how what they are.
Yeah, it's a shame you can't play some badass music on it. Because I feel like there could be a bit more to offer.
Real dramatic fights on that one as well. For my own personal thing, kind of before we move on, there's definitely what I want to mention, which I thought was the collection of tracks it got was absolutely outrageous, was the Hanmaru, which is the Tekken Dojo level for Kazuya when he was announced.
Nice.
The amount of Tekken music they have is unbelievable. Tekken 3 had one of the best soundtracks of any video game ever, I would still say, to this date. And they've included three of the best songs ever, like the Jin theme and the Horong theme are unbelievably good. I love it.
You're getting music from characters who aren't in the game. You'd think it would just be a couple of Kazuya songs, but it's not. It's like every character in Tekken.
I remember when I was scrolling through the list of songs when we first came up playing it in yours, I was like, oh, what have we got for the Hanmaru? And I came across Moonlit Wilderness is one of the tracks from it, and it's kind of this kind of very kind of airy fairy dramatic music, but it brought me right back to playing Tekken 5 in the arcade with my brothers, because that was one of the only levels that you could choose, was the Moonlit Wilderness, and I had that track on it. And I was like scrolling through this and I was like, it's got so many bangers. And Tekken 4 was a real kind of jazzy game as well. The soundtrack for Tekken 4 was a very different game compared to the others. But one of Niall's favorite tracks is Bit Crusher, which is a Tekken 4 track as well. But again, like, we didn't deserve all these. Like, it's a single level with Kazuya in it, and we've gotten so many Tekken themes from so many different Tekken games. I'm like, wow, we didn't deserve this many tracks, you know?
It's the best for the €50 it was at launch if you got it, you know, in Smith's like I did. And it came with a steel book, a steel case as well, and the regular case, $49.99. I'm like, that is the best €50 I've ever spent in my life, like, you know.
Yeah.
Best £20 was Final Fantasy 7 and Platinum. But the best £50 I've ever spent with Smash Bros.
which we're still absolutely throwing hours into at this stage, like, you know.
Every week we play two or three times, like, you know.
Moving away from kind of the maps and the music, I want to touch upon kind of quickly some of the other kind of what I would consider the celebration of games type thing in it, which would be the assist trophies that we get in the game and the other characters
it's
that
a
they
shame,
represent.
Because for those, it's a shame because we rarely ever use weapons. But we used weapons last week because I really wanted to while Aiden was playing, because Native Versus doesn't play very often.
It's
kind of like more of a Mario Kart if you have weapons on, because all you have to do is pick it up, throw it, and it'll just kill someone, you know?
Potentially, yeah.
And I got an assist trophy and immediately it was Rathalos, and I'd never once seen him ever before, like, you know. I've seen him when I played the one player mode, but I'd never seen I'd never fought a Rathalos.
Like five people playing Smash Brothers with a Rathalos just
attacking everyone.
With a dragon
attacking us, and I was like, oh, so I've been playing this for 5 years and I've never once seen this like situation.
Like, with the modes, you'd have to have like a 6 or 7 minute long match with, because some of the assist trophies are just killer, like they're so strong and they
but
target
if
characters.
You kill them, you get a stock. Or you get a, like, it counts as a kill, you know? That's why, for timed battle, it makes perfect sense to have them on, because it'll be worth it.
We should do that. We should put in a mode for, like, call it the assist trophy mode, where you put, like, medium frequency assist trophy. Because I want to see more of that, because there's such a great representation from so many games. Like Monster Hunter, do you know what I mean? Get the Rathalos out there fighting you.
We could be fighting Knuckles or Grey Fox or like all of these extra
characters. Grey Fox, I forgot he appeared in it. And he just absolutely whooped ass from Metal Gear Solid, you know?
You could beat the shit out of him.
And it's a pity you can't... is there a list of the entire assist trophy in the game that you can view? Like with each, with each.
I don't think so. I think Sakurai said there was 50. There's more assist trophies than Pokemon for the first time in the series. He did mention that in his little
more assist trophy types than there are Pokemon and Pokeballs.
Yeah.
I mean,
because there was always like 30 to 40 Pokemon, and, but in this assist trophies, there's more just because it encompasses games outside of Pokemon. You know, still amazing that there's like 30 to 40 Pokemon just in Pokeballs that'll show up to help you.
And there's even so there's Gray Fox. There's the head guy from, is it the end of Star Fox that you fight?
This Andross.
Andross comes
from the original Star Wolf. You can't fight him because he's a background.
You
can't actually like do damage to him.
But like that's what I mean. Other like such great other representation. Can you think of any other assist trophies? My mind said like Waluigi's one, right?
Waluigi's one. There's even some third party characters got in. So Shovel Knight got in, but as an assist trophy. I've never once seen him in a fight, but he's in there. Bomberman's in there. That's a great one. I love
Bomberman.
That.
I haven't seen Bomberman actually. Yep.
Bomberman's in there.
Oh, man, we need to play more assist trophies. We need to play more assist trophies. Because there's a lot of them that I don't know that I think are from either Xenoblade Chronicles or old kind of anime sword games. Because there's a lot of guys that come out and I'm like, who the fuck is this? And they're whooping my ass so much, but I don't recognize them as a character. But they seem sort of like generic anime sword fighter characters. I don't know what games they're from.
There's this armadillo looking guy. He's probably one of the few I've just no clue who he is. You know?
I'm going to see if I can bring up a list here.
What would be good, and you mentioned things we'd love to see in Smash Brothers, but one of the thing, because I love the whole level design and make your own map type thing, I would love to be able to, do you know where you have level creator?
Yes.
I would love to have a level creator where at specific times, like at a specific time during the level, say like every 30 seconds, a Pokeball will drop at a certain spot, but I'd love to be able to choose what Pokemon is in the Pokeball. You know, or is in the assist trophy. Because I know that mechanic is in there because like Sakurai is able to do that for all those spirit challenges. You know, and if he's like, so whatever he wants, you get. So if it's like a Pokemon battle, every Pokeball will have like the Mewtwo or whatever he's trying to, you know, highlight for that specific challenge. But I would love the idea of just building a level with a master ball in the center, and it's always Mew, and everyone has to like race to get it type thing, you know?
Same with
the assist trophies. That way you could have... It would almost be like bringing the character into the game. So if it's me and you are fighting one-on-one, but I have Gray Fox arrive every 60 seconds, then that would happen about 3 or 4 times per game when it'd be like there's 3 of us, you know?
Yeah.
Because he's arriving every minute, you know? So it's kind of like having an extra character in there fighting, and I love the idea of doing something like that, just to have 59 to 60 more characters in the game.
Just fighting, man. It'd be so good. Like, going through the list here, we've got... I'll read out ones that you and I would be more familiar with. We said Andross from Star Fox, the Black Knight from Fire Emblem, Bomberman, Chain Chomp from Mario. Who have we got? Who else do I recognize here? Elec Man from Mega Man. I guess one of the Mega Man. The Excite Bikes can come on to the thing from Excite Bike. Heard about that one. Who else have we got? Gray Fox. Guile from Street Fighter.
Mm-hmm. He does the flash kick.
Yeah, so good. The Hammer Bro from Mario. Uh-huh. Isaac from Golden Sun. Oh, so that must be one of
those. Isaac. Yeah, he uses the hands.
Then Isabelle, I'm assuming probably isn't there anymore because Isabelle is in Smash Brothers Ultimate, right? So Isabelle probably isn't assist trophy anymore.
I'm not sure the way that one works. That's unusual, yeah.
We've got Cap'n from Animal Crossing, Claptrap from Donkey Kong, Knuckles, of course. Little Mac was an assist trophy at one point. I'm assuming they aren't.
That was back in Brawl, yeah.
Magnus from Kid Icarus, Midna from The Legend of Zelda. Do I recognize any Nintendog, which was quite a frustrating one that they would just come up to the screen and start licking the screen and
they're
you couldn't see.
They're essentially just like the ink thing.
From Mario Kart. Just
to annoy you.
Rathalos, as we said.
That's probably the best one, I'd say. Rathalos. Just because it's fucking huge.
And it's really hard to beat them as well.
Yeah. It has a massive moveset because it's a legit boss.
Yeah. Shadow from Sonic the Hedgehog, as you said. Shovel Knight, Skull Kid from Legend of Zelda. Springman, one of the ARMS characters. Who else have we got here? The Thwomp from Mario. And do I recognize Waluigi, of course.
That's where he belongs, as an assist trophy.
And then we've got Zero and Willy Capsule from Mega Man. So Mega Man's got quite a good representation there.
And not all of the the characters you can defeat. Like, only some of them are like physically in the game. Some of them, like the Nintendogs, just show up as a background.
Yes,
and you can't.
And they just
them.
Do an interesting thing. But I love that. I love that they're there, and that's mostly first party characters. There's a lot of Nintendo specific game characters there. But it's so great that you get the odd one coming in from third party games. Grey Fox is such a great addition. One of the things we didn't touch upon, we were mentioning the maps, and for those who don't have Smash, don't play Smash, there's a whole map creator thing that you can do, and maps, downloadable maps. You know, I remember before Sora was even announced in the game, people were making Kingdom Hearts themed levels. Do you know what I mean? Like, they were making their own Hollow Bastion, or they're making their own Traverse Town, or just fight on a giant Keyblade, all those kind of things. Yeah, yeah. You know, and like some of the levels that we have, like ones that we play religiously, like the Spear Pillar,
yeah, that's a really good one.
Which is a really, really good one. Someone made a, I know a couple of lads hate it, but the hockey ice rink one.
I absolutely hate that one, because there's no edges, so you have to like, throw hit them in a very specific direction to kill them.
You throw them into a portal thing that automatically kills them. But again, that's something, you've got all these amazing levels, all these amazing music, and then you can go off and just make, like, I mean, if you're good enough at it, you can make a level and then include your own music on it for this whole other world of Smash Brothers playthroughs.
Upload it to the masses. Like, it's just so many great ones that we downloaded as well. Like Spear Pillar, just so people know, like, what a great idea for a level, in that it's just this tall little stick right in the middle, and at the very center of it is a tiny platform, barely big enough for four people to stand on. Like, all four would be standing at the edge, basically. Mm-hmm. And the idea is you're fighting to stay on the mountain type thing, but the tower is really, really big, so you have to constantly grab on and like work your way back to the top of the tower.
And
if you're like calm, you'll just stay down there.
But I enjoyed sitting in there as well, because it helped me when I was learning to play Sora. We did that level a lot, because it helps with a whole aerial fighting style, because you have to get good at being able just to fight in the air to try and defend yourself or get up to the top of the pillar. That level is, like, you know, famous with us as well. It's not even a legitimate Smash Brothers level, just a creation thing, and we play religiously. So good. Just to give us enough time on it, Craig, because time is moving on, I guess we'll come to our kind of our final kind of 2 points in today's episode, which is what we expect the future of Smash Brothers to be, and what we want the Smash Brothers to be.
So we do expect first, for
absolutely,
sure.
Absolutely, yeah.
It's less exciting.
Yeah, absolutely. So what do you expect the future of Smash Brothers? Now that Ultimate's finished, we have our two fighter passes, they're done and dusted. To make this a bit exciting, actually, on the news episode I did with Chris and Luke there for the October news, there was a piece that we put on where Sakurai finished his YouTube videos.
Yeah, I've seen that.
And his ending message on one of them was that he is and has been working on a new game since April 2022. Now, I asked Luke and Chris what they thought. Did they think that game was Smash Brothers? Chris said emphatically yes. Luke said no. I've said no. Do you think he's working on a new Smash
Brothers?
I've
honestly no idea. I think he's the type of person who wouldn't tell us.
Oh, absolutely. You know?
So, like, I can understand why Chris would be like, well, I mean, he's done five so far.
What's stuff? And I'm like, and it's such a money machine for.
It's just that because I know nothing about the Switch 2, it's hard for me to believe that he's working on a game for that console.
Yeah.
When we
don't know
anything about that console, you know? So I feel maybe a little stronger about it if I had a Switch 2, you know?
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
or if it was out or announced in any way.
So with that in mind, what do you expect the future of Smash Brothers to be?
I expect the future of Smash Brothers to be someone who isn't Sakurai.
Okay.
I think that they'll redo things. They'll try and make it visually better, like they did with, like, you know, the Street Fighter games. They might mess it up with the art style. I think they might do that, but because they'll try to make it.
Brawl had a slightly different art style, didn't it? When Brawl came out, a slightly
yeah,
more,
it had more of a gritty kind
look
of realism to it. Like
yeah.
like the way Link looked in Twilight Princess, every character kind of looked like that.
Yeah, yeah, they all had a vibe. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. But their art style in Ultimate and the Wii U is just dead on. It really suits. I hope they keep it, but I'd imagine they'll change it a little to get away from that. I expect them to completely cut the cast down to about 20 characters by default, but maybe about 10 you can unlock. So I'd say about 30 total without DLC.
And do you think these characters are going to be Nintendo first party based?
Yes,
or do you...
All first party. With the DLC again, and I think they will do DLC, but only the DLC will have the third parties. Like, they won't, because they could have easily charged us €7 or €8 for like the Simon character or the King K. Rool. So they kind of lost out on money there. I think they'll be far more tactical this time around because they know how successful it's going
to
be.
And they know
so
the
characters like
that
that could make a lot of money will be left off the books until you pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd imagine they'll give us the 20 or 30 regular characters fine-tuned, different mechanics, different moves, maybe even more moves or more smash attack. You know, they might change the way it plays and give us some different levels and stuff, but I think we're going to have a new, like, main 12 characters. I think Ness is finally gone. I think Jigglypuff will finally be gone. And I think the Inkling will be added to the main roster as well as the Villager.
I think that they'll really try and promote the first party games, won't they? They're really trying to focus on the... Yeah.
It'll be a means to go back and
look at all these great Nintendo games. You know,
but of the original 12 characters, I think Ness is gone, Jigglypuff is gone, and in their place is the Inkling and the Villager to like have a new cemented main 12 type thing.
And pure Nintendo. Well, I know Pikachu will be still there, I suppose, so it's not pure Nintendo.
Well, I mean...
Well, Nintendo, Pokemon games are all Nintendo,
It's first party, you know.
Nice. Anything else to say on what you expect, or will I give you my
expectations? I'd imagine they'll bring, because it'll be a far more stripped down game, I imagine they'll bring trophies back, or you know, maybe even an attempt at like a one player mode or something, because if you have a smaller cast you can do more.
Yes.
You know? You don't have 90 fucking people to put into your one story mode, so maybe they could do a bit of a, like in Melee, the way it was like an adventure mode with a theme for each character.
Okay. You know,
maybe they could do something like that.
Yeah. You know? Very
but
nice.
That's what I would expect. A far more grounded Smash Brothers that's trying to start over.
Okay. I think for me, I expect that... God. Are my expectations and my what I want aligned? I don't think so. I expect that we will get a revamped, here's a reset. We're hitting the reset button on Smash Brothers. I don't think we'll get a cast as big as what you've said. I think it'll be way less than 30 characters. I think you'll probably get, you know... Like at least for this beginning reset, like 20 tops maybe, if even.
Yeah.
With a lot of focus on those characters. With Sakurai gone, because I don't, you know, I expect this Sakurai probably won't be involved. Like, you know, when I asked the question, do I think this is a Smash Bros. Game that he's working on? My answer straight off the bat was no. I think he's gone back to Kid Icarus or some other thing with Nintendo, and I think Smash Bros. Will be someone else's thing. I don't think he wants that stress back in his life anymore. But because of that, I think you'll lose the quintessential party fun side of it, and I think the playing as the characters might be slightly more complicated than it is. I think you might bring in things like with a bit more combo type stuff, do you know what I mean, into the move sets, and really kind of develop these, you know, 15-20 characters that you have. I think it'll be hugely Nintendo focused. I think Nintendo will want to promote Nintendo things, but it can't be solely Nintendo focused, because the thing that's made Smash Bros. Successful is the crossovers, the fact that we have this multiverse of
it became huge because of that, and I think Nintendo realized that massively now. Because they were just like, oh, put Minecraft in. Put, you know, they were the ones promoting all those wacky ideas.
Yeah.
So I definitely think that they will go heavy in on that.
Yeah.
But not with the default cast. Only the DLC, you know.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay.
That's what I meant when I said, like, you'll have 20 to 30 Nintendo characters. And then when they announce the DLC, that's where you'll get all the third party. Yeah. But you won't get any third party, like, none whatsoever
in the base standard game. Yeah. No, I think I'd agree with that. I think that the standard, whoever you start off with, would just be purely Nintendo-based, purely promoting Nintendo. And I think the characters would be developed entirely on their own video games now, as opposed to them having been upgraded over time. So I think Luigi's moveset would be based entirely on the Luigi's Mansion series.
Yeah. And same way Mario would probably lose Flood and lose a bunch of different stuff.
Yeah, it'd be whatever, you know.
He'd be more to the Mario Odyssey, Galaxy series,
have a Hatro and
or
thing.
Odyssey, sorry. Yeah, the Hatro, he'd definitely have
all that kind of stuff. I think Kirby would be in there, and Kirby would be this thing whereby, you know, there might be things on the map that Kirby could suck in and then take on that, like that weird Kirby adventure game that was surprisingly well received. So I think that's the way we go. I think it'd be a real Nintendo promotional thing to begin with. And then obviously to help the popularity, they would announce, oh yeah, don't worry, you know, question marks, but there will be third party video game characters. And I think you'll start off with, like, in the first game, you might get 5 or 6. Do you know what I mean? That would be a big announcement, those 5 or 6. So I think it'll be a departure. Now, Craig, what do you want from the future of Smash Brothers?
Super Smash Brothers Ultimate. I want, if it's going to be a Super Nintendo Switch, then I want Super Smash Brothers Full Ultimate Superstar, whatever you want to call it. And I just want them to tinker with the online and then just add more characters to what we have now. With that mode I mentioned before, with the ability to spawn in whatever Pokeball I want or whatever assist trophy I want. And I want to be able to play that squad strike mode with not... Because we never play two-player.
Yeah.
like one-on-one is very rare for us, but I love squad strike. I love the whole 3v3 or 5v5.
Yeah.
If that was a four-player mode, we would play it all the time.
Yeah.
I would absolutely love that.
Because you'd never have to go back to the menu. You'd just be playing with loads of characters. Like,
switch, and just make it wacky and awesome. Yeah. That is a mode I would love to have in the game, and it's just not there, unfortunately. I don't think there's a huge market for it, because most people do play 1v1. Mm. You know, we are outside the norm in their four-player shenanigans, or even eight-player sometimes. But I would really want that type of mode. But what else would I want? Just more tracks, more characters, and just feed it to me. Just keep everything the same so that we don't have to request the rights to have Cloud and Sephiroth and all these guys again. Just keep it exactly as is. Just an call it a remaster, whatever you have to do legally, so that you don't have to fucking pay the money again.
Just port it to the Super
just
Switch.
Pour it to the Super Switch and then announce DLC, like they did with Mario Kart on the Switch. You know, they introduced
and that's
48 new levels.
Yeah, it's worked so well for them. I think that to me is exactly what I want as well, because I don't think there's a better version than Smash
Bros.
Never
be like, and it can never be topped.
What
so
I expect
ridiculous.
From Smash Brothers, like what you and me described, is what our expectations are for Smash Bros. Opposed to what we want. It's what I expect Smash Brothers to be. I don't think that's going to be better. At all. Mm-hmm. I think what we have is perfect.
No, the first thing I talked about is what I expect to happen, and I will not like that.
Yes. Neither of us want that. Like, it's like, I would say that you call it, like, you know, Super Smash Brothers Ultimate Edition or something like that. Yeah. You know, that
it's a shame he called it Ultimate, because he kind of shot himself in the foot.
We can't grow on that.
It's as if he was saying, this is it. Like, don't ever say it. Never say never.
But even if it's still at the call out and you port it to the Switch 2, but you announce, like, another... I don't know how many you could get away with, but another fighter pack of like six characters or
I need a fighter pack every year for the rest of my life.
Oh man.
That's all I need.
Who else do we get? Because
every time there's a new game, he's just like, you're in Smash, or just an invitation, you know? Someone like wins best game of the year and their reward isn't a trophy, it's to be invited to Smash Bros. They get the envelope.
The game awards becomes a thing.
They open the envelope and they go, it has the Smash logo on it.
If your game wins game of the year, included in that is congratulations, your character will be added to Smash Bros.
Now entitled to participate in Smash. And that is a massive honor. Because
you get like, you know, you could get really weird characters like Alan Wake and stuff. I mean, not the characters, but they'd be wacky and fun to try. I mean, for me, I've got the perfect cast. There's no one, I mean, we discussed in our previous episodes of what characters we think we'd want to have in the game. But for me, I've kind of got everybody really that I wanted.
Visually, they all suit for the most part. Yes. Like, you know, I don't think more humanoid characters as they are in their own games would work. Mm. They'd have to be brought in and then tailor-made to Smash. So Sakurai would have to give them the nice coat of paint that he does so well.
And we talked about it with like Aloy kind of, or like in, you know, there's a character. I mean, the characters can be cartooned down. Do you mean Snake is great. He's a good suit for it. Like the anime characters are easy to do, like the Clouds and things like that. But then you look at the entire Final Fantasy series, like, you know, Square Enix was keen. A couple extra Final Fantasy characters in that game, you know, some of them from 9.
I do prefer that Smash Brothers remains at least 60% wacky, goofy looking characters.
Yes, 100%.
We can't have more than half the cast being humanoid.
Yes.
That would ruin Smash if there were more humans than like Yoshis.
Yeah, absolutely. No, you're 100%
Donkey
right. So I think
we need
like,
the ratio to be balanced.
And Nintendo needs to keep kind of in the pipeline just more of the Nintendo characters going in to those games for sure. I just had a great idea imagine this, that they announce, you know, we've got Tidus, you know, into Smash Brothers, and with his main moveset being the Blitzball. But imagine a Blitzball arena. Do you know, like, you know the Blitzball arenas where it's like in the water?
With Jex music going.
With Jex music. And just loads of like little mini platforms, and you can jump along to these other areas and just fighting in a Blitzball arena with like the don't you vote on it. So there's just so much potential.
And
just
there's
like,
less gravity or something
on
that level.
So yeah, exactly.
Like
there's just so much. I'm gonna actually go home and try and create that level in the Mario in the map maker. But yeah, so that's I think, and I can't think of many people who'd want anything other than that. Do you know what I mean? Because there's something wrong with Smash.
Well, I have no idea how Japanese people feel. We're very different, you know. Like, we would no person in Europe would ever come up with the idea for anime. So their minds are just very different to ours.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't know what they want. I'd hope that they represent the non-competitive scene the way we do, because I know everyone, like Smash is massive still, but only in the competitive scene.
Yeah,
there's no casuals like us still knocking still, about playing it all the time. You know, yeah. We are a dying breed here. Yeah. Like, if anything, they're going to make it more competitive and just build on the online.
And that's the part that worries me. So when I talk about like what I expect, you know, Sakurai, he said he's been working on a game for the last 2 years. If that is the case, but then we're not getting a Super Smash Bros. Port to the Switch too, because you're not gonna. That's not gonna take you 2 years to make, unless you're working on licensing things for 2 years to get your next character pack together. But I don't think that's what he's doing. So it is going to be, you know, either he's making Smash Brothers or Smash Brothers. If he's not doing it, then the next Smash Brothers game is 100% somebody else. If he's not working on it now, he's not working on it ever.
If it's someone else, I think they have to start again. And if it's him, he can continue his record.
Yes.
Because that's why he pushed with all those extra DLC. He was like, no, let's keep breaking the record while we can.
Yeah, yeah.
So just push. Don't reset. Push beyond. Yeah. So that nobody can follow you. But if it's nobody can follow you already. Yeah. But I mean,
but if it is, as you said, if it is popular on the competitive scene, I think if someone else does come in and they hit the reset button on the Smash Brothers series, we get a more competitive, a slightly more complicated to play version of Smash Brothers.
I'm sure,
I think.
Yeah.
You know, to appease the more professional players out there.
For a game that came out in 1999, it's surprisingly well balanced to this day.
Yeah.
Like, there's dozens of characters that win tournaments and stuff like that, and like there's always upsets, so like any character can win, like, you know?
I love that.
And
so
even
much.
A character like Byleth, who when they were first released they were like bottom of the tier, and then the best guy in the world, MKLeo, just wins tournaments, and now that's a number one seed or something like that. Like it's up in the top five, you know. It's just crazy to see how like people can just figure it out, and then that character just jumps 50 places.
So good. Well, Craig, I think that's all we have time for on our Smash Brothers series. Hopefully the next time myself and Craig come on to the podcast to talk about Smash Brothers, it's because...
A new game's announced.
Or it's just the Switch 2 is announced and one of the launch titles is a ported Super Smash Brothers with a whole new character pack. Oh, that'd be the dream, you know?
Can you imagine we got both? Super Smash Brothers Ultimate Remaster, where they said, hey, we're going to add DLC.
And Super Smash Brothers Origins.
While they're working on the new Super Smash Brothers.
What a world.
What an amazing
Nintendo just, it's just in a license print money, Nintendo, you know? Take it from us.
It is. Like, yeah. Just, and because they have so few announcements, because they're not great at making games very quick, for years they were relying on other Nintendo Directs. It was like, all right, what are we going to do with the WoW people? Just show a Smash Brothers trailer.
Yeah.
Everyone's fucking
hyped. And
everyone goes
mad. Yeah. It's super.
That's all they
YouTube.
Needed. Like,
yeah.
One E3, like their hour-long presentation, 45 minutes was Smash Brothers, and another 15 minutes was just, you know, who gives a shit? Yeah, I don't even remember what was in there. Like, and the whole 45 minutes was Sakurai talking about everything that's changed in Smash Brothers Ultimate.
Man.
And that was their Nintendo Direct. Like, that was E3 that year.
Yeah, they can't afford not to have Smash Brothers continue in one...
It's too amazing.
Yeah. That's it. That's it from myself and Craig on Super Smash Brothers. If you're interested, myself and Craig are now going to hop on to do our post show where we'll be looking at our Battle Royale series. And in honor of Smash Brothers, one of the rounds that is remaining to us is Master Hand from the Smash Brothers video games versus V from Cyberpunk. So if you're interested to see who comes out on top of that battle, check out our Patreon at patreon.com/thegiftofgaming. Craig, thank you so much for hopping on. It's always a pleasure to talk about Smash Bros. With you.
Of course, anytime.
We'll just throw it into other random episodes whenever we can, I have no doubt. And to our listeners, as always and forever, keep enjoying the gift that is gaming. Peace out.